This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, everyone? It's Bo here from the TV Talk podcast, and it is another Miss Marvel TV Talk. We got a lot of revelations in this episode. First of all, let's just go ahead and acknowledge it. I was wrong. Thank God I was wrong. Okay. That was not her great grandmother. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad that I put that out like the day before the episode with the revelation so that we could immediately get a correction and everything could be put right in the world and everything's fine. That was not her great. And I love that they started this episode with like, nope, that's not her great grandmother. That's her great grandmother. Because, okay. So I was wrong. That's okay. We were just going to assume I was wrong anyway. That worked out well. But we do get some more revelation here. We find out that, in fact, that she has kind of some mystic origins or kind of interdimensional origins. The interdimensionality of season four continues on here. And I think it actually works really well. We talked about before how Miss Marvel in the comics is more tied to the concept of the Inhumans, that the Terrigen Mist that they put out activates kind of this Inhuman gene that's in her body and is able to activate her power set. We're kind of playing off of that, right? Like there's elements of that just with a lot of different twists that I think fit in really well. For one thing, by tying her family's history less with the Inhumans and more with the Djinn, not only do we have kind of this more kind of deeper cultural folklore that play, the Djinns have always been like a really, really cool concept. I'm kind of a big fan of diving into ancient cultures and specifically ancient folklore from around the world. And being a big fan of Aladdin when I was a kid, Djinn and genies, those were always something that I was really, really interested in. And so the concept being explored here is really cool. In fact, when we first see the arm that the bangle is on, it was blue. And immediately I thought, ooh, Kree, right? Like, because again, kind of the connection with the Kree and Miss Marvel and the Marvels and everything else. And that could be the case. Or maybe this is a nod to, you know, the way in which Djinn are sometimes portrayed as blue. So I don't know. There's different ways that we could perhaps interpret that. I still have a feeling that there's going to be some kind of Kree connection here. I could be wrong. We'll just have to see how it goes. Because she keeps on referring to it as cosmic and not necessarily mystical. But at the same time, the Djinn refer to, you know, their world as being in another dimension, which is also not necessarily not cosmic nor not mystical. It'll just be really interesting to see how it all plays out. Got a little bit of some Inhuman vibes here, because of course we do have like a, you know, an ancient people group, people who have been around for hundreds of years, and they're kind of stuck here and they want to get out. Also, this adds to the theory that I had last week that perhaps damage control was after not just like broadly, oh, this is a superhero, like no, they're tracking a specific group of people. And that specific group of people appears to be the Djinn. They might recognize this in their database from something that happened before, and that's why they're specifically looking for the Djinn. The Djinn, not happy about being here and ready to get out. So they even ruined the wedding, which rude, by the way. So maybe don't do that. Maybe at least wait till the wedding's over. Looked like a lot of fun. It was a great episode. Very, very fun episode. You know, I love all these character dynamics. I've mentioned it before, but I'm a big fan of the dad on this show. You know, it says something, I think, when a show with kind of more of a youthful character, theoretically targeted at a more younger audience. For someone like me, who's been rocking with the MCU since, you know, Iron Man first came out, saw it in theaters and everything else, at this stage of my life, I wasn't a father then. I am a father now. I'm still a few very short slash long years away from being a father of teenagers. I mean, it's right around the corner, but let's just pretend like it's not. Let's just say that it's not. I think it says something when me as a viewer ends up relating a lot to the parents in the episode, more so than the title character. I mean, I love Kamala and I do relate with her and I do kind of see how she in so many ways is us. But at the same time, I also kind of relate with the parents. There's a lot of themes going on in this episode with the idea of you don't have to do it alone. Rely on your family. You need, you know, you can't exist as an island. You do have to have a group of people behind you. And that's kind of part of finding that family and what does that look like and how do you support one another is kind of what's swirling around in Kamala's mind right now, because obviously she wants to protect her family. She doesn't want them to get tied up in this, especially with damage control getting involved and the Gen, you know, she's got the government and supernatural forces all kind of converging, and she doesn't want to hurt anybody. But at the same time, she's going to have to learn that she can't do it alone. By the way, to every single like mom character in like every single anything, if there's something going on and you're a mom character in a movie or a television show and your line is whoever her mom is, what was it? I feel sorry for her mom. She would be very disappointed or something. What did she say? It was something like that. Oh man. I just remember hearing that thinking like, oh no, if you're a mom and you say that, you got to know it's your kid. So I'm very curious to see how this all plays out. I mean, like, you know, I've been speculating that the negative zone is what we're going to be kind of leading to here. And maybe that's the idea. Maybe in this universe, the negative zone is tied to the home dimension of the Djinn. It also is the interdimensionality of especially like folklore and not just folklore, but like religions in the Marvel universe is really interesting. I don't know if y'all have seen in one of the more recent, Thor trailers, but folks have started to kind of look at it and find little Easter eggs and nods to, other gods across the MCU. Specifically, there is either like a chair or a statue of Bast, who is the panther god for Wakanda. And like, so her statue is, I want to say, in Olympus, based on that trailer. And so, you know, we have also the ancestral plane, like, which was also referenced in Moon Knight. And so like we have all these little pocket dimensions, right? And even like in Shang-Chi, we have this kind of pocket dimension. And so the idea is that there's like all of these areas of folklore exist in this kind of interdimensional way. I wonder if we're going to get, I don't know, Asgard might also kind of exist in a pocket dimension. It's been treated as if it's in space because it is, but maybe it's in space in a pocket dimension, you know? I don't know. Maybe the Bifrost is an interdimensional pathway as well. I'm just curious to see how it all works out. So really excited to see what they do with it. Really excited to kind of further explore what exactly is the power set of the Djinn. We saw them kind of creating weapons in a similar fashion to how Kamala could create weapons, although theirs were much more tangible as opposed to just kind of like this cosmic crystal hard light structures. All right, one last thought on this series. I'm loving every single aspect of it. There's one thing that it's not about Ms. Marvel. It's about almost every series except for Moon Knight has done this, which is they keep on teasing costume and they don't really fully give us costume until the very end. And I get it. That's the whole progression and everything. But man, like, I'm really ready to see her rocking her own costume and her own name. And I get it. Like, that's probably going to be like her big revelation because she's trying to figure it out and figure out who she is and figure out, you know, the name. And maybe it'll be like at the end of it, she won't even say her name. She'll be like, I've got an idea. And then we just hard cut to the title scene or the title screen of Ms. Marvel. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. But regardless, loving this series, loving where it's going, and excited to see where it expands from here. Let us know your thoughts. You can use the hashtag Ms. Marvel TV Talk. You can follow us on Twitter at TV Talk FM. All of our contact information and more can be found at tvtalk.fm. That's going to do it for me for Ms. Marvel today, but we've got some Kenobi TV Talk coming out your way a little bit later today, so be on the lookout for that. Until next time, I'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.